The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone focus my God thing now. Next to me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them are spite me.
Talking Heads with Nazi is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, Fun Foods Wholesale, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
Pass me and them girlfriend a link up with that when they think tough. No food, clean water for drink up. Now me and the dog, them a link up. Big truck, 20-inch rim, there's a spin truck. The pioneer, there's a kick up. And a hip-hop apocalypse up. You can't see the star to the tint up. Plus me and the Cuban a link up. Rose gold to the Cuban link up. How much ice, there's a hurt and the rings up. From what day you may find out, certain people don't like me.
We're back at you on the Friday, May 24th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. Of course, Mary Jane is going to be joining us. We got MJ zoomed in. What's good, MJ?
Hey, good afternoon. It's all good. How are you?
We're all good, man. Of course, you know, we got Talafi. We'll be joining the conversation with us right on the flip side of the break. So I'm just going to get you know, the numbers out of the way, how you can chime in, and then we'll take a quick break. And then on the flip side of the break, we'll have a great Friday edition of Talking Heads, and we're talking everything. And boy, I tell you, it was plenty red last night, AMJ.
Oh, I saw some pictures on social media. Yeah, a lot of enthusiasm, I think, on both sides for this upcoming convention that the Free National Movement is staging.
And after what I saw last night, I agree with you 150%. Right after June 1st, June 2nd, silly season is open. You know how they have, like, hunting season is open in the States?
Right.
And everybody get all excited. It's hunting season. They wake up 4 in the morning to get out and go, no, silly season starts June 2nd. I promise you.
It feels that way for sure.
All right. Here's how you chime in. Phone lines are open in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free and one of the family islands, 2423. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh new smart talk all day right here at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Quick commercial break, flip side of the break. We'll be back at you with the Friday, May 24th edition of Talking Heads. Yours truly, Naughty, along with Mary Jane, and our special guest, Arinthia Komolafi, coming up on the flip side of the break, so keep it right where you got it.
In the market, you getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is voice it.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games,
we like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your Cheetah Sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Refined style with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place. If you want those slots hemmed or just taking the waist, then Fine Threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video, want to step out and look, Threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place, is your place, is your place.
This
is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We're back at you on the Friday, May 24th edition of Talking Heads. And Mary Jane, we have our very special guest, Arinthia Komolafi, with us in studio
always
again.
Always a pleasure to have her with us, you know. Always a great conversation.
Yep. Good to be here. How are you doing today, MJ?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Can't complain.
Now, there is lots to talk about, and I'm happy to that everything's well with you and yours. And since our last conversation, there's a lot going down the pike.
Yes, a lot. Has it been weeks or has it been months? I don't even know how the days are going so fast.
It's been about maybe 5 weeks since the last time.
Wow.
We were on.
It seems like a lifetime.
Man, look here. A lot of stuff been going on.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the last time you were here, you know, you said you were taking your talents to the FNM.
Absolutely, and that I did.
And were you in attendance last night at the British Colonial?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't make it last evening. I intended to be, but I had a member of my family fall ill.
I understand how that is.
Yeah, I had to be there, and even today is still the case, but now I'm feeling a little bit off.
We'll be all right.
It's been a busy 3 weeks. I think the last time I was there, I'd informed you I have a senior. So I have a high school graduate coming up. So last week it was graduate photos.
Oh, Lord.
Tomorrow's prom and next week is graduation.
Wow.
So I'll even be absent for a couple of hours from the convention because the graduation starts at 5:30.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it was set from August 23.
I get that.
Yeah.
But that's good stuff. And where are they off to?
She's going off stateside and hopefully to be able to do architectural engineering.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and then some
choice.
Yes, and hopefully she could continue with her running.
I know kids still are interested in stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And she's a girl. She's always been interested in art, but she loves science. And so she wants, I just found it, you know, I thought about it. I said, you know, if I could do it over again, I probably love building. Yeah.
But, So the younger sibling is the track and field star, right?
Well, both the two are in track and field, but the oldest one, she was focusing on soccer.
Oh, okay.
So, but this year she decided to focus in on track.
All right.
And she found that she loves it. So when she gets to the school, she's probably going to try and do one or the other or both.
Tell her Google nil money and hashtag Bahamas and pay herself the way through college.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, nil money and all of that, man. The branding rights and can market themselves.
Oh,
man.
Yes, the NIL. Yes.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, some good Adidas contract, you know, we already prepared.
I mean, I would probably say Puma track and field, but yeah, Adidas is
Puma Adidas, yeah.
There you go.
Either one. But the younger one, yes, that's the one who was the Carifta medalist.
There you go.
The high jumper. She's the high jumper.
Yeah. And that's good. I'm very strong to know that we have so many young, talented field athletes coming up between the long jump, high jump, triple jump, javelin, discus.
They have a strong javelin program, a nice triple jump and long jump program. They have a lot of good field coaches in the country now, and they are producing. And even now in the NCAA, a lot of them are doing well. You know, the championships are coming up.
And the good thing about the NCAA is they have these contacts now here with these coaches here. The phone rings. Hey, I need a discus thrower.
Right.
I need a javelin thrower. And I need a 200-meter runner.
Yes, exactly.
And they can package it up because they know they got their hands on the athletes.
And they're
doing well.
Absolutely. And we do extremely well in the field. I think we're one of the strongest, if not the strongest in the region. Even, you know, Jamaica is obviously doing well on the track. But when it comes to the field, the Bahamas is very strong. And the majority of the medals we got this Carifta were the field events.
You know, if you throw stuff around the house, there might be future in discus and javelin for you. So,
absolutely.
You know, I should break up your mommy's dishes, remember?
Absolutely. You know, the children love the field because it doesn't, you know, the track training is very intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the field is a little bit more relaxing.
But
the field is more technical.
One or two laps, you throw what you throw, you do what you do, and you see tomorrow.
Exactly. Once you get the technique and you know we're the type of people, once you teach us something,
you got it.
We're good at it.
There you go.
So once they get the technique, they'd be flying.
Well, I think you've been taught a thing or two about politics in your career.
Yeah, in your time.
And from what you saw online and from what you saw circulating today, what was your impression of the attendance last night for the endorsement event for FNM leader Mr. Michael Pintard? Michael Clifton.
Pintard.
We got to get that Clifton in. They're starting to ring it out now.
Right. Like we had Hubert Alexander, Ingram,
Perry
Gladstone, Christie, Linda, Oscar, yeah. Pinland.
No. So you all go that
Hubert
route.
Hubert Alexander, Minnis.
You all go that route.
Exactly.
I go the route we had Ping.
L.O.P.
We had Perry. We had
PGC.
Papa,
H.A.I.
We had Doc. And now we got Cliffy on the bed. You see what I'm saying? We always got a nickname for
what
him.
What would that be? MCP?
Yeah.
Yeah, MCP.
Yeah. MCP.
There you go. All right, but what was your take last night, though?
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking today, and you know, from all sections.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a powerful showing. It was a powerful show of support. I think it built on what we saw at the nomination day, where there was a strong support there. And one of the best things I like about it is I'm glad to see the FNM base rallying up. You know, I think this has probably been one of the most difficult times for true FNMs in more recent times and modern times of the Free National Movement's existence because of the challenges that they've been facing within the organization. But the good thing about it is that this convention has really rallied people up. People are paying attention, and people are very vested in what the results are going to be. So I thought the energy in the room was good compared to what we've been seeing over the past couple of months and even in the short period of time during this opposition period. And I think it augurs well.
What do you think about the campaigns in general, like from both sides, from Dr. Minnis's camp as well as Mr. Pintard's camp? I feel like it's been a pretty clean campaign, maybe a couple of skirmishes here and there, maybe an accusation or two. But for the most part, it seems to have been a clean campaign. Is that your take on it, or
yeah,
how do you feel about it?
Yeah, certainly it's been a clean campaign. And we're also seeing a lot of creativity and innovation. I think they're very high-level campaigns as well, you know, and I've been paying attention to both sides. And it's good to see. I think one of the strongest things coming out of this is you get to see the other sides of these candidates, because where they're so busy in their roles doing what they're doing, that a lot of the videos or contents that are coming out concerning them shows the human side of them. So they're being humanized, and you get to see them beyond the work, beyond what they're doing, standing up there in the House of Assembly or, you know, on a platform, a party platform. And so I've liked what I've seen. Of course, you're always going to have the little blow here and there, but what would being in politics be without it? But I think for the most part, it has been above board. I think it's been very civil and very mature, and I hope it continues in that vein, straight through June 1. And I hope June 1 is also a good and productive day and clean, just like the campaign has been thus far. And, you know, may the best man win at the end of the day.
Well, I think, you know, this is really galvanized, I think, where everybody was headed as far as getting towards silly season, like we say. Because, you know, if you look at different sections of the community, everybody has something that's in their craw that's got them upset.
Absolutely.
There's sections that have seen this administration do things that felt, you know, positive impact, and there's others that felt negative impact. And I think as a whole, we're still, you know, kind of in a haze. We're still spinning, you know, our wheels in the mud.
Right.
And I think the next 2 years is very critical for this administration, because at the end of the day, we know that our voting populace plays what I call ping pong politics.
Right.
Back inside, back and forth. We don't care. And I think that if the PRP continues to not have a Freedom of Information Act, not use the Procurement Act, not be available to answer questions to Joe Public so we know exactly what's going on and where our money and how our money's being spent, they could be walking on a slippery slope to being part of another ping pong administration. Do you foresee anything like that on the horizon, or do you think that they might be the administration that actually gets through straight after the last 25 years or so?
Well, it's difficult based upon what they have produced, or should I say not produced, over the last 2.5 years. It's difficult to see them repeating, you know, because you have not seen any substantive policy initiative, what substantive policy initiative have they implemented that is going to have an impact? I mean, forget multi-generational impact, but just an impact in this five-year period. We haven't seen anything. I know they're moving forward with these carbon credits initiative, but that's a long-term strategy. We're not going to see the fruits of that anytime soon. We haven't seen anything in healthcare, although we've been having this conversation about the hospital. Whether that will materialize is another story. And we still have the challenges with the healthcare system up in Grand Bahama and even right here on the island here in New Providence, and we're 3 years in. And, you know, in politics, you have 2 years left, but you really don't have two. I think right. as you noted, I think after next week, we're going to enter into that silly season just by virtue of what the FNM is doing on this side. If we look at the issue of infrastructure, we're having a lot of challenges there, particularly if we look at the roads. We haven't seen any massive improvements to the road. We see little patches here, patches there. But for the most part, it's an obstacle course when we're on the streets, right? I've spent so much money. I mean, personally, I've just spent so much money changing tires. Your tires are wearing down faster. You fall in a hole. That's it. That's the end of that tire. You're fixing parts on your cars, you're swerving to move, and, you know, we've been taken over by, I call them the small car gang. So
yes, I'm the shoe.
Yes.
You know, you're swerving in and out.
Passos, Neos, Geos, Cubes, and whatever.
You know, and they just make these little movements here, there, and everywhere. So infrastructure, when it comes to infrastructure, I mean, even if you just drive along the coast, you haven't seen the upkeep of the seawalls. If you go on Arawak Key, you know, there's this big pile of fill or sand, whatever it is, that's been there for months, if not almost a year now, and we're not seeing any movement there. And I saw some damage there in the seawall there. Sometimes you drive the streets and it's very dirty. Sometimes the verges are not well kept. So we don't have any pride anymore, even in terms of the way the landscape of the place is. When we get into the utilities sector, I mean, one thing we can say from the previous administration, we had reliable and affordable electricity. I was in that group of persons that was actually not paying VAT. That's how low my usage was and how low my bills were.
Show off.
Yes, I will show off, because I tell you, I'm paying VAT now and I'm hurting, right? So all those years that I wasn't paying, now I'm paying.
But that can be MJ. And if I am, go ahead if you're going to ask.
That was one of the big ticket items, I guess, they have on the agenda, that we're not getting the full information on exactly what's happening with BPL. A couple of things we do know, which is that, you know, our light bills are just almost unbearable. Like, we're right on the edge of just not even being able to afford it, to pay the whole thing every month. You know, I think a lot of Bahamians fall in that category. And we're hearing something's happening with BPL, but we're not getting the information. What do you think about the way this administration is not only handling what's happening with BPL, but handling, you know, communication to the public about what's happening with BPL?
Well, I just think it's a complete disaster. You know, if we go as far back as, you know, not renewing the hedge program, which has brought us to this point where we're paying all of these high bills. And if we look at the fact that the entity is still $500 million in debt, they have a $500 million liability. You're talking about another $500 million just to get the institution to where it needs to be.
Yeah, and to then upgrade, right?
Yeah, just to upgrade all of the infrastructure. And I mean, we've been hearing every election cycle, BPL is always an issue. You know, but for some reason, you know, it's always gets worse and worse. And where we thought we're close to a deal. So last administration, we were dealing with the Shell deal and looking at an LNG. So we were moving towards some diversification of the energy program. Now we don't know what we're moving toward. And the prime minister is saying to us, well, you know, two weeks time, I'll let you know what's going on. Be patient.
It was 2 weeks or so. And I believe that or so is doing a lot of heavy lifting. So
yeah.
I don't see that. Telling us anytime, so we'll see, you know, we'll see.
I mean, you're talking about a country that has been independent for 50-plus years, $5 billion economy, and the level of governance that we're subjected to is absolutely, I can't fathom it, you know, because you're saying to us, you've written this deal, you obviously know what's going on. We don't know what's going on.
Right.
We also understand that we're not getting reliable electricity. I mean, persons, unfortunately, for over the last several days, persons were Some persons were not only just out of electricity, they were out of water.
Right.
You know, so that speaks to me to another issue, a maintenance issue. So they established it was a crack in the pipe. So why aren't we constantly checking these things to see where we're having challenges and where we're going to probably have potential shortfalls? You know, what else are we missing that is moving forward? You know, are we checking these bridges, all the bridges across the country and so on and so forth?
I think we need to check infrastructure because we've had the recent, you know, diesel leak that's been going on in Abaco for 3 or 4 weeks now that they haven't been able
There's also a BPL leak out in Adelaide.
And a BPL leak in Adelaide.
Now you have an effect on the environment and potentially the water tower. And you have to watch that. I mean, you don't want to have problem on top of problem. Sometimes we have to be more proactive than reactive. If we need to replace these things, let's do it wisely, efficiently, and effectively.
Well, proactive is certainly not IMO here.
No, but we've got to learn that. That's why folks like you trying to, you know, do what you all need
exactly.
to do in the future.
Exactly.
Because we need to learn it. We need to do it.
Because at some point you just get tired of talking it. You're moving toward an opportunity now where we can be able to actually make the change. I mean, just simple things that we're not maintaining. We already know we don't maintain buildings well.
No.
We don't maintain the roads well. The other day, we couldn't print driver's license because the printer was down.
And there's still a, there's still a multitude
now,
of cars,
still cars
with
on
no
the
licenses.
Road. I mean, how is it that you do not have licenses? That's a security issue. Do you understand?
Right.
All of these things are a security issue. Even if you are point and farming out this transmission and distribution, who are you farming it out to? Again, these
Again.
Are discussions that have to be had. It's a national security issue.
And with no
Patrol
issue. And Act, with no Freedom of Information
Nothing.
Act, we have no idea.
No governance structure. Well, we're not going to get corporate governance from this administration. You know, the national chairman of the governing party has already said that that's just PR, right? Those things don't make sense. We already have Freedom of Information. If you want something, just ask for it. But that's not the case.
Because then, you know, you give me the answer you want to give me, which don't
have
to be the truth.
Or you don't give me the answer at all.
Exactly.
You know?
And when you talk about maintenance and the fact that we are not doing a good job with upkeep, isn't it more costly, more expensive for us when we wait till the last minute and the thing is completely broken down to have to deal with some of these issues?
It's absolutely more costly. You know, I never understood, you know, obviously, I understand there's a difference between public governance and private governance. I understand that there's a difference. But in private governance, you're always going to have a line item inside your budget where you're going to have something there for maintenance. Because these things are just all natural, even in your own homes. You know, you have to keep the upkeep, whether it's your air conditioned system or your fridge or your washing machine and dryer, if you're privileged to have those things. Those are the things you have to continue to keep on those, because if you don't, then eventually they run to the ground. Your car, we know that. Most everybody has a car. If you don't keep that up, keep up with the servicing and everything, then it's going to cost you in the long run. And these things are costing us in the long run, because you find then you have structural problems, things that if you had addressed it in the small spot, in the small patch, then, you know, it would not have expanded to a greater area. For example, in a building. And we have all of these buildings that we just leave standing. We build these nice buildings, and then we don't paint them often. That where we are and the climate that we have, the sun is very brutal. The elements that we experience here in this tropical climate are very brutal on the things that we have, our road infrastructure, our building infrastructure. So it's absolutely necessary that you have these line items for maintenance. But yet we refuse to do that, and then they run aground. And what ends up happening as well is sometimes these buildings get to the point where they're condemned and then we're out of them. Like, for example, what we had to deal with the post office years ago.
Right.
Because we didn't keep that up. Or now we had to move the person from road traffic from out of the stadium. Right. And look at all the backlash that is causing now. We weren't sure we were going to be on time for the relays. Now we have the situation that's happening with UB and their graduation. So all of these things, you know, all of these things that we have, they don't understand how they have a ripple effect just because we lack proper planning.
All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick because we got a call. Call our talking heads.
Yes, we don't hate you. You're just naughty by nature.
Hey, GNN, what's going on with you, man? How you doing, man? How you feeling?
If I tell you what's happening, you might talk it. Good evening. Miss Kumalafe.
Good evening. Hello.
So
wonderful.
What you got for us, GNN?
I don't want to jump on my dear female leader, former leader, Miss Kumalafe, but she's talking about BPL and the water situation. It's just pure, you know. And Ms. Komolafe, you know, ain't 10 members of parliament tied together, ain't sharp as you. So I know why all us playing crazy as if we don't know. It's pure friends, family, lovers, and corruption. I didn't know they used to ship generators overnight from wherever, from Germany and or them kind of place.
I think once they got the plane big enough and they got the envelope big enough, they could put it in and get it here. That's what I'm hearing.
It must be, because all we got to do is follow the generators, and then we'll know exactly where they're coming from, where they're going, and where they're coming from. And when it comes to the water, Ms. Komolafe, what happened was the Moscow group saw some people out of Israel, and that's the only place we could have bought the pipes from for the road works, because the pipes were a new brand of pipes, untested, unproven, and now they're poison open. Wow. But just friends, corruption, family, and lovers. And that's my contribution for the day.
All right, man. Have a great weekend, GNN. But, I mean, when we look at it, it boils back to the fact that, you know, Matt Arby was here last Friday or last Wednesday. We've been crying out for Freedom of Information Act for far too long.
Freedom of Information, we see that the procurement bill is not being followed, and they have admitted to it not being followed.
That's what galls a lot of Bahamians. And a lot of, you know, people think, you know, especially in the political world, oh, that's not having an effect. No.
It does.
That's the kind of stuff that costs election time.
Absolutely. You mean on the governing side? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But then that's the whole point, right? Because it also speaks to the fact that even if you are not corrupt, you perceive to be corrupt. Because
right.
These legislation are checks and balance against corruption. They're anti-corruption legislation. And so any government today in the 21st century Bahamas that does not want to legislate and put in force these particular laws, they're questionable, and the Bahamian people should pay attention to that, right? Because this is how the money leaks out. And, you know, we talk about the fact that we have these challenges within our economy, and the economy is not growing at the rate that it needs to be growing at. We have this high debt problem. We have a high deficit problem. We also are still at junk bond status, and people don't like to talk about that. The country has been there now for more than a decade. You know, and I wrote an article on this several years ago that says that when you have these countries that find themselves in junk bond status, it takes several years for them to get out on average. And the Bahamas has not really been doing anything that significant that is going to move us from that position. And all that means is that the horizon for the average Bahamian is that things are going to become more and more costly, because it becomes more and more costly for us to borrow. And because of that, then we have to cover the cost of that borrowing. And how are we going to cover the cost of that borrowing? The government doesn't have any money. The only money the government has is the money that we give it through our taxes, the taxes that we pay, the value-added tax, the customs duties,
right,
the excise duties, all of these other taxes that they continue to put on us.
And speaking of taxes, let me ask you this one. We got a couple of callers. I see we'll get to the phone lines right now. You know, we were talking earlier about the cost of living back on your bill, and you're like, wow. Sometimes I look and I was like, well, there go my bail money and my Dorito money. Go
right.
On. And a lot of people are looking at it now like that's playing an effect, you know, on how they live.
Absolutely.
And I've been asked several times, especially in the barbershop, Nordy, when we could get the bail money back. I think people want to hear that there's an opportunity for them to get back at least on firm feet, on solid feet, where we can afford to live, where we don't give up some of the little liberties that we, you know, little enjoyments in life that we have. You know, at the end of the day, if you work hard, you should at least be able to earn a decent living and not have to put it out in taxes. And one tax, like I say, what I like, you know, I'm a foodie. Now I'm hearing rumors of a sugar tax. Have you heard any rumors of a sugar tax?
Yes, so that is being swirling around there.
I'd fight you on a sugar tax, boy.
Oh, yeah. But my question to that would be, what is the rationale behind the sugar tax? Because is it attached to your health initiative and your goals for health? Because if you're saying you want to put a sugar tax because maybe you want a healthier society, because you understand that we're a society where there are so many people filled with chronic illnesses like diabetes, high blood pressure, and all of that. If that is your end goal, then you're contradicting yourself, because at the same time, you have value-added tax on healthcare and medical attention, right? And on right. So if that is your goal to move toward a healthy society, if that's why you're doing the sugar tax, then clearly you're contradicting yourself.
You need to remove fat off of those.
You need to remove fat off of those items, and then you have to put more healthier items in the bread basket. And then you have to be sure that you're not putting value-added tax on the breadbasket items like you're doing now, you know. And I think they underestimate the impact of this value-added tax on bread.
It's impacted a lot of people.
Well, if you just take a list, if you just take a look at what was in the breadbasket list up to 2018, and those things were fat-free. These are things people use every day.
Right.
In the case of you have baby cereal, baby food, baby formula,
right,
bread. You know, broths and soup, butter, canned fish, cheese, condensed milk, cooking oil. These are things people use every day. Corned beef, evaporated milk, flour, fresh milk. Grits. You wondering why when you go to your local restaurant, whether it's on the side of the street or whether it's in a restaurant, why the cost of breakfast is going up? But that's why the cost of breakfast is going up.
That is everywhere. You know,
I bought a cake yesterday from the food store. The cake was, it's a cake. Yeah, I see why you say you fight on the sugar tax, too. It was a honey cream cake from Supervalu, right?
Come on now, boy.
And my son saw it when he saw it, because my son he pays attention to money, finance, right? So he said, Mommy, do you know, because I used to buy the cake a lot. He said, when you bought that cake just 2 years ago, that cake was $7, and now it's $12. He said, that's a massive increase in a short period of time. My son just said this to me.
Smart kid. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Yeah. Good day, Naughty.
Hey, what's happening?
Yes.
How are you?
Hello.
You know, on the issue with this BPL thing, right? We know them engines ain't just get ordered last month, a month before last, right? And they're going to come and they're going to keep burning diesel 24 hours a day with the solar energy thing. Like I kept saying, and you know I've been on this for a little while, because this half the flywheel crew, they just want to spin up and down. They came with this new energy and natural gas industry from how long last year? That was implemented, and they put that in place from around about September, right? With a new minister of state, right?
The LNG?
A ministry.
Right. Oh, the ministry. Yeah, you have a new minister and a new ministry, yes.
Okay, so that to let you know how far back their plans was. They create a ministry for a rookie member of parliament, right? And who couldn't answer my childhood friend and schoolmate, Michael Pintard, when he challenged them in parliament last month? She said she ain't answering. And the wrong Davis answer, the Davis from Cat Island in San Salvador, he wasn't talking to her. You know what I mean? So she ain't going to answer and tell Joan's voice. Now we know why they ain't answering and tell Joan's voice. Because these engines been ordered. You don't think so? They had to be ordered months before. You see what I'm saying? But every day, today, from 6:21 today, the sun rise. The sun wouldn't set until 7:51. That's 13 and a half hours of sunlight. You see what I'm saying? And under the administration, after the hurricane, Ragged Island has been solarized, running fully solarized, with 400 kilowatts of power there.
Mm-hmm.
Ragged Island only consumes about 90 kilowatts, not even 100 kilowatts, but they got 400 kilowatts of solar panels, and they run in day and night. That's God-blessed energy coming from God to the whole Bahamas and everybody, right? That 400 kilowatts of solar panels, energy that's been harnessed through the daytime, can solarize Crooked Island. That is only, I'm using 280 to 90 kilowatts. That's an extra 100 kilowatts of power. And if we take it, and we have to be understandable, if they were to only follow what Minister had in place and did for Ragged Island, they didn't even have to invest. See, when you go with solar, they didn't have to invest in the battery to run in the night at first. Just put in the panels, Crooked Island, Acklands, Miguana, Rumkey, San Salvador, islands like that, because they don't make money. Like one operator say, it's a labor of love to our brothers and sisters in those islands. But even from Cliftonville, Big Pond Power Station, Soldier Power Station, once these solar panels are put and running in the day, my brother out in Solution, he has solar panels in his yard, and he's getting about $80 credit a month. He don't have no battery that runs in the night. You see what I'm saying? That because he's tied into the grid. The thing The thing is this. Then they say $500 million. That's a grift. That's what they want to say. And they're going to
all right,
set
well,
it up.
My line's full, my brother. I appreciate your contributions as always.
Yes, thank you. Suffer.
Have a great weekend, man. Thanks as always. I guess to these other calls. Talking heads.
Caller knows his stuff.
Hey, oh, yeah. Buddy, how you mm-hmm. doing?
Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
And to my former great leader, Orentio Komolafi.
Mr. Jeff Delavoe, how you doing?
I've been trying to get in touch with you.
I tried to call your number as well.
Well, we will have this conversation off air.
Okay.
I just wanted to add in here just to say a lot of the things that the callers have been speaking to, the Democratic National Alliance have addressed many of these things during both your administration, Mrs. Komolafi, and in particular Brian McCartney's administration, and it seems as if the public just scoffed and laughed at the DNA for bringing these initiatives up. I'm going to say this much. The previous caller was onto something, and we've been, especially myself, have been speaking to this matter for a very long time. It seems as if it's a deliberate act for our government not to subsidize our family islands sufficiently, not to direct investors to our islands sufficiently, so they can create an economy to be self-sustaining in these islands. I mean, there's no reason why many of our islands are still the way they are. I believe that some of the initiatives that, like I said, the Democratic National Alliance did suggest may have borne seeds by now. There are a lot of other persons out there who were not a part of the DNA, but also are nationalists who spoke to many of the initiatives to move these islands towards prosperity. We have all been, you know, pushed aside, not taken seriously, cherry-picked for seems as it's more like self-interest instead of really serving the country in the manner that we would like to see the country to have been. But I'll close on this one point. I believe that the future is here. I see that the Bahamian eyes now are open. We are now vocal. But now to move it from just talking into action is really the thing that I would want. Discriminations of persons within all of these political parties, including a few in the current governing party, are serious about country. And I think we just need someone to now create that nucleus to let us now finally get this country to move forward. So I just wanted to call in Mrs. Komolafi to thank you personally for the work that you have done with the Democratic National Alliance when you were there. I mean, there were some things that we really were successful in doing. There were some things that were still left on the table. And I think it's about time that we as Bahamians actually get ourselves together and begin to move this country forward, upward and onward. Noddy, thanks for taking my call. And
no problem, Jeff.
I'll be in touch with you shortly.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Have a good weekend, Jeff. All right,
have a good one, Jeff.
Let's get this last caller in. Talking heads.
Yes, good afternoon, Noddy.
Hey, what's happening?
And good afternoon to your guests.
Hey, what's happening?
Good afternoon.
Noddy, I just wanted to ask your guests, is there anything, I mean, because look, like, I mean, it's obvious that from administration to administration, our government participates in activities that we all can see something is wrong, that corruption is there, right? my question is there any way that any avenue that a lawyer or a legal-minded individual can bring inquiries against the government, public inquiries, or anything like that, dealing with dereliction of duty or something not dealing with the best interests of the people, something like that, I mean, conflict of interest. Is there anything that an outside source can do, a lawyer? Because I'm wondering, if that is the case, why hasn't it been done as yet, right? And if there's not an avenue for that, right, why is there not more individuals like yourself, like who used to be into politics and who used to talk about they love the country, et cetera, for so long, and then you only hear from y'all again, like when political time come around, why don't y'all, like, come be activists in the community, constant activists, like leading the people into the streets against parliament to demand answers and different stuff like that, right? That's one question I have for you. Another one is, do you support the people owning 100% their essential services? Like when I say the people, I mean the government and the government running it effectively. Or do you support some type of privatization in any form? Which one of those do you think will ultimately be in the best interest of the people? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your call, caller. I'll take the latter question first. We've seen over the years that entities that have been run by the government have been subject to the corruption and they've been subject to mismanagement. I'm not necessarily a big fan of government being involved in business for that very reason. I think we find a bit more productivity, and certainly when you have privatization, whether it's partial, whether it's full, whether it's a public-private partnership with the government, we tend to have more productivity because competition breeds more innovation. And so you will always be able to give the customer more and deliver more to the customer. Right now, within our national budget, the Bahamas is allotting upward to $500 million just to subsidizing SOEs, which is state-owned enterprises. Those are every year in our budget, we have to come up with upwards to $500 million just to subsidize these entities. And as you can see, even now with BPL, you're talking about a $500 million liability that exists there. And we're talking about $500 million just to get it to where it needs to be. That's not even talking about quasi-institutions like NIB and what we're dealing with the Bahamas Development Bank and all of these other institutions and the Bahamas Broadcasting Corporation that are heavily subsidized. I do support some form of privatization. To your second question, sir, I don't think we ever go off the scene.
But what are we going to do? I'm going to let you pick it up in the 5 o'clock. I can hold you hostage in a good way until in the 5 o'clock. MJ's got some more questions for you. The text lines are full. The phone lines are full. We will talk sports in the 5 o'clock. I promise. I got some smack to lay down on some of you basketball fans. I told you, watch out for them Dallas Mavericks. I told you, watch out for them Boston Celtics. But anyway, we'll pick that up in the latter half of the 5 o'clock hour. But we will continue our conversation with our special guest, Miss Arinthia Komolafi, on the flip side of the news right after the break. Keep it right where you got it.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back at you on the Friday, May 24th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. along with Mary Jane, our special guest, Miss Orinthia Komolafi. And, of course, Pearly will be chiming in at some point because you know it's after 5 and I know you want to talk sports, so he'll slide in. If you hear a loud combruction and, like you know, air fry in the background and whatever, that's Pearly. Don't be put off. It's okay. So, MJ, we got a caller here. You want to get to that caller? Okay, Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty.
Hey, what's happening?
Radio man, you know, I want to make a comment about this DEC thing. You know, DEC's had us in the loop long time, and that ain't going nowhere soon. See, those guys making plenty money off that rail. And I think the public should know that by now.
All they're doing
is just talking, and they collecting the millions. You know, they get, last time was $28 million a month for bringing in the rail.
I know it's I can't speak to the numbers, but because
that's in public. The general manager who was there then, Mr. Hasty, he said that. $28 million a month.
Well, you and I have always said on this show when we talk BPL, connect the dots. Bunker C can't be done. It's bad for business if we go out Bunker C.
They ain't going nowhere with it early until if the public do uprising or something. See, let me say another thing, too. I don't know if some people can remember. DEC used to bring in their own oil, you know. They had their own oil tank. I know you made me a little too young to remember that.
No, I got to tell you.
They had their own oil, and they was profitable at one point. But that's just how this country goes. The rich get richer, and we be the poor set. We got to pour all this money. You bring it in the oil, but you got to bring a middleman and say, okay, you bring it in the oil. Huh? That's a bunch of nonsense. And like, again, I can repeat myself, that ain't going nowhere soon. I used to tell Warren McCartney the same thing. The fellas, them getting the big money, they bought in them generators the other day, I think about 2 years ago, bringing go LNG. No, they bring in generator to run off oil again. Brand new generators, if you remember correctly.
Mm-hmm, brand new.
So all we doing is just talking, and they just making the money. Again, I repeat myself, they used to bring in their own oil. But that's the way everything goes in this country. You know, the rich get richer, and we got to pay this big light bill and all of that, you know.
And guess what? We continue to vote in. You know, the same individuals that he keep perpetuating that. And I mean, I caught the tail end of it. I know you might be a little older than me, so you know, you've been going through this all your life.
Yeah, they call about Ragged Island, right? I think that was $3 million. See, solar is not cheap. See, we believe it's just throwing one tin on the roof and this and that. Solar have components what to run with. And if you to do the average house, and I said before, it could be about $25,000. That ain't cheap. You know, so we need to forget about this solar. Solar is not cheap. But anyhow.
And some good baseball this weekend. Boy, your Orioles are looking good.
Boy, the Orioles get me mad because they get rid of, I just hear they get rid of the dark relief of what they had, the tall guy. The one who was our good closer, they bring him a man. We threw him and blow a couple of games.
Yep.
Know? Now, Boston Boston going somewhere.
They lurking, you know.
Huh?
They lurking.
Boston going down. I think it may look like they ready for Boston. Indiana.
Oh, you're talking basketball Boston. Now. Yeah. I thought you were talking still baseball. Yeah.
Yeah, basketball.
You
know I
said
Celtics.
What
you talking about?
No, I know that. On that note, bye. Have a good
weekend. Right. I think Minnesota may give us a little trouble.
Look where y'all going. Anyway, you know what? You call me and Pearly back. Call us next week. Have a good weekend.
All right.
You're starting to sound like Red Auerbach and Johnny Mosh right now, man. Bye.
Oh, goodness.
All right, but let's wrap things up. There's a couple of things that you wanted to mention with the previous caller that you started talking about.
Yes. Well, you know, like I said, I think... I think when it comes to activism, that sort of goes around in circles and generations. You know, I've certainly had my fair share of activism, right? And that's not to say I won't continue to be an activist or to advocate for change and do. But, you know, we've been out so many times. We were there for the Keep Your Corn Beef March, the BTC March, the PPL March, you know, what do they call that? The natural resources we were out there for, and just good governance. And we don't ever go off the scene, caller, you know. And some of us have even stepped out and went into those realms that, you know, the part that is less chosen, you know, the part where you get ridiculed. You're a third party person. People think your head is not good because, you know, you're just throwing, and then you rise to become a leader. They think your head is even worse, not good. Because you're throwing your money in a black hole, and, you know, the likelihood that the people would change. And people tell you all the time, man, these people ain't serious. They're not going to vote for y'all. They're not going to change. And you haul out some bit of hope. You know, my only saving grace was that I'm a woman of faith, so I believe God can do all things, right? But the reality is that you know, faith is there without the works. You need the people that are going to be there. When you call for activism and you call for people to be there, then this is a partnership. I think leaders or activists, they want the activists to go out there and do everything off their own. And there's a price to pay for that. But you choose that as an activist. You choose that as a political leader. But you're never going to get the change that you want until everybody is galvanized. And we have to see this contract as involving all of us. The social contract is not a one-way street. It's not just the people, or it's not just the leaders. It's the leaders and the people working together to get us to that goal where we need to get to. You know, and that is why I am really encouraging persons to really stay politically engaged, because we have our challenges with our country right now, and we have our challenges from administration to administration. We can do better as a nation. We're not doing bad, but we could do better, and that's why we continue to push. But the minute you start to take your foot off the gas and you're not engaged and you're not out there and you're not joining the activism or being a part of the advocacy, that's when people start to really take advantage of you, because they're already taking advantage of us. But if you start to just take your foot off the gas, we are going to go places where we don't want to go. We're going to be like third world countries that we do not want to be like. We have a good quality of life here. We have a good standard of living, and we have to ensure that we protect that. And that is why it is so important that when we, you know, persons like us, we would have wanted to stay on that activism route, stay on that third party route, and hope to bring about the change. But the people must be engaged. And our vehicles, hoping to be able to effect change from the inside, but at the same time, you still need the participation of the people. We cannot just look at it where you just want a leader. All leaders are, they're just first among equals. We're all equal, but the leaders are just the first among equals. And you're not going to get the change. If you look at our history, what transpired with Black Tuesday, what transpired with majority rule, what transpired with independence, everything, every major social change, getting the franchise to vote, that's for women, for men, because there was a point where if you didn't have property, you couldn't vote. All of that happened with the people coming in, the majority, and the majority rules. And that's how we got to that very very auspicious day where we now celebrate majority rule. If you don't have everybody on board, you're not going to get what it is that you need. And you have to be able to put your colors down at times too. Because, you know, I say to people, you can be a part of political parties. And we think if you want to be a part of political party and engage like that, that is perfect. But at the same time, you must understand that aquamarine, gold, and black, that's your priority.
That needs to come first.
Right. That is always first. When it comes to immigration, when it comes to the economy, everything that you're doing, everything that you're dealing with, and your party comes second. You know, my mantra I live by, God, family, country. Nothing comes before my God. Nothing comes before my family except my God and then my country. And even in the country that is divided to the aquamarine, gold, and black, and then it goes to these party colors. You see? So I think all of us need to take that mindset, and we will get the Bahamas that we need. A better Bahamas. A stronger Bahamas.
MJ, I know we got to wrap, but do you have one more? And then we can...
Right. I just wanted to get... Orinthia, just wanted to get your thoughts on something that I think will be more in the public sphere in the next coming weeks and months, because it's something that we're dealing with now, the new thing proposed. Of course, just listening to you today, let me tell you, I realize how a lot of things are so interwoven. You know, you talked about health and, you know, where they put the taxes and what does that mean for our overall health. And then you talked a little bit about how we're still at junk status. I do remember Minister Jarvo saying in the House that it was there was no appetite on the international market to do a public-private partnership for a new hospital. They ended up getting the financing, or it's proposed that they're going to get the financing from China.
From the Chinese.
Yeah. And I realize how many things are interwoven. The idea about this new hospital, initially I was like, okay, a new hospital. And then I heard some of the response from the Bahamas, the Medical Association of the Bahamas, where their take on it is that it's not a fiscally sound investment and that a lot of what we have now we can't use and that there isn't sufficient staff. There may not be enough doctors, nurses, etc. What are your thoughts on the hospital? I already feel as though the way we're being given information is insufficient, but just a thought on a new hospital itself and the loan that we're going to have to take on to deal with that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to the point that you're making, right? Everything is connected. And you know, sometimes I feel like some of the pronouncements that are made are so abstract. You know, there's no coordinated right. effort. So we just say, okay, we're going to do this hospital. And I was surprised to hear the location of where it was going. And I thought, right. I said, somebody must be pranking me because that is the absolute dumbest place to put a hospital. I just couldn't understand why you would even want to put that there. And anybody who traversed the streets of New Providence, especially along the coast on a daily basis, knows that that is not going to be a smart place to put a hospital. Yeah. And then you're talking about bringing down the value of people's homes, the noise that comes along with that, the activity, you know, and I mean, unfortunately, right. in this time, you know, you're going to have a tremendous amount of activity there and you don't have the road infrastructure to be able to accommodate right. that, right? And so I don't understand that particular aspect of it, the funding part of it too. It goes back to this credit worthiness that I talk about. Right?
Right.
And the sovereign rating, because your options to be able to borrow on the international stage is going to become limited because you're not getting your fiscal house in order. You're not doing anything from an economic standpoint where people are seeing that you have an effective economic growth plan in place that is going to bring more investment into your country and more revenue into your country by people working, even if you have to bring people in from other countries. And this whole BPL issue and the reliability of electricity ties into that too.
Right.
Because these are
absolutely.
Also things that tie into the cost of and the ease of doing business. Persons are not going to come here and establish their businesses here if they cannot get reliable utility services, whether that's with water, light, or telecommunications. They're just not going to come here. Okay, so if you're not going to be able to attract investments here, then you're not going to be able to attract more job opportunities or entrepreneurial opportunities for your people. And if you're not going to be able to do that, then you're also not going to be able to increase your revenue. And if you're not going to be able to increase your revenue, you're not going to be able to address your debt issues and your deficit issues and the economic stagnation that you've been experiencing. So now, but you're adding up your debt. You know, you're going to the United States, you're borrowing locally. I even think you're just challenged everywhere you have to go. And now you're going up to the Middle East and up to the Far East where you have to borrow monies because they're probably giving you favorable rates. But you're adding to
right.
the debt, but we're not seeing how you're going to pay this debt back. We're not understanding return on the investment, right? And so what does that mean then? The cost of living is going to go up because now you're going to tax people because you have to be able to service these obligations. You see, so that is my challenge with this administration. Yes, we do need a hospital. We do need a critical. We need a hospital that can be able to address our healthcare issues. But you have to be always take an holistic approach to how we are going to address the issues that our nation is faced with. And these random and abstract policies. And you know what? Honestly, I believe they do them
as distractions. One of the taxes wants to know, where would you build a hospital?
Well, I wouldn't build it there.
Bada boom. All right.
I mean, if worst case scenario is not like we have an abundance of land left, so you would probably just have to move with amending or adjusting what you have right now in the short term.
Right.
But I've spoken to this policy before where I talked about, because you don't have to have everything concentrated here. And then there's also telemedicine. And in the policies that we were advancing over the years, we talked about having a hospital here on New Providence to service central Bahamas. And then we talked about a proper hospital in Grand Bahama to service the Northern Bahamas, and then one on Exoma to service the Southern Bahamas. And all of those entities can also have offshoots and satellites where you can distribute telemedicine. You don't have to have proper infrastructure or people there, and you can talk to people via telecommunications means and stuff like that. So if you don't have to have everything here. You could have a cancer center maybe up in the north. You can have dealing with your chronic illnesses somewhere in Exuma. So you can make the adjustments there.
Right.
And it's connected. We're all connected. One flight could get you down to Exuma or get you up to Grand Bahamas, as simple as that. And then start to outfit these clinics to be able to give at the minimum primary care. Not serious surgery and operations and stuff like that. That will take place in the hospitals. But get those clinics where you're taking the load off the hospitals.
Right. Those satellite clinics have always made sense. But listen, we got to do this again because you know we got to get into sports, and I'm getting this thing. I got to segue into that. But I do appreciate you stopping by, being so candid on so many things as always.
Thank you so much.
I will make sure I get with your people and make sure that we have you back in short order right after the convention, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
All right. Yes. Well, I thank you for stopping
by. And after the victory.
I know you're probably going to watch some Euro football and some basketball. I know you get into sports, so enjoy your sports weekend.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Roland Garros coming up.
There you go. Tennis.
Yes.
There you go, tennis.
All right. Thank you all for chiming in. We'll take a quick break. Flip side of the break. We'll be talking sports. MJ will be in the building. Pearly will be in the building. Keep it right where you got it.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Attention ice cream lovers! Are you ready to elevate your springtime indulgence and taste of luxury with Häagen-Dazs? For a limited time only, treat yourself to the quality of Häagen-Dazs ice cream for just $8.99 per pint. Yes, you heard that right. Indulge in the finest flavors without breaking the bank. This exclusive offer is available at all Lickety Split and Super Value locations. Experience the premium quality of Häagen-Dazs at an unbeatable price. Spring has never tasted this good.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian. Every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We're back at you right here on the Friday, May 24th edition of Talking Heads. Naughty along with Mary Jane and your company right up until 6 p.m. And then we got Pearly zoomed in now, so things is things. The mod squad is in effect. What's going on, Pearly? We got Pearly zoomed in. Pearly, get your finger off the mute, man.
No, I'm good. I'm ready.
I believe so.
I believe he watched a late game last night.
That's right.
So what's going on there, Pearly? How are you today, man?
I'm really good. I'm in a really good mood. I'm really great.
I want to know how your 33-19 Los Angeles Dodgers are doing, man.
We 7 games out in first place. Which one of y'all that close to anybody?
Well, my 35-17 Yankees are 3 games in front of the Orioles.
Still less than what I am in first place.
Who are infinitely better than anybody in your division, and they'd probably be in first place if they were in your division.
It doesn't matter how much games you win, is if you finish first.
That's true.
Okay.
Are y'all playing the Orioles yet? Y'all looking good right now.
Oh, we have played the Orioles. We have played the Orioles before. We played the Orioles before, okay?
And they take how many? How many do they take from y'all?
It doesn't matter because, like you said, we're in first place.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Now that
MJ, you hearing this, right?
I'm listening.
So, Pearly, what's this I'm hearing? That Angel Reese wears that leg sleeve to cover up a pearly tattoo on her thigh?
What?
The wrong place in the head. Why are you bringing my business out?
Oh, Lord. MJ, Pearly will fantasize from time to time in the really sports segment.
You really can fuel my fantasy world now, but that's fine.
No, but listen. I think when Cardoso comes back, though, it's still going to be a nice little 1-2 punch, you know.
She giving me basically 12 points and 9 rebounds every game as a rookie in the WNBA. That's fine. I can live with that. She only could get better.
Exactly.
Were you conflicted last night, Pearly, with Angel Reese going up against Jonquel Jones?
While I like my Bahamian woman, I'm in love with my Angel Reese. So, you know, that don't matter.
Yeah,
I always pull for Angel. I am a fan.
From her sophomore year at Louisiana State University, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen. I've watched her from LSU. Actually, I got a glimpse of her at Maryland. Didn't get much play. But when I saw her, when she came to LSU, I was like, oh, God, yes. Okay, that's who I'm pulling for.
A couple of lists have her as a potential rookie of the year. I mean, how you feel about that?
She's in the money
that?
So far. They can try hard to give it to Caitlin Clark, but Caitlin got getting rough up a little bit.
No, but I was going to say,
steady basketball.
It's going to be rough for Caitlin, and I know that Caitlin fanatic is going to text in a moment, but I think Taurasi put the memo out draft night when Caitlin Clark got drafted.
But see, actually...
And Taurasi and all of them were giving her the business night in and night out.
The beautiful blonde from the L.A. Sparks, Madam Brink, she is looking pretty good as well. She had a key block the other night to save the game.
The Sparks, I mean, they're a work in progress.
She too is a pie.
That's Cameron Brink?
Yeah.
Yeah, the blonde and blue-eyed pie, yes.
Listen to Pearly, the blonde and blue-eyed pie. hey, hold on.
She was at the Dodgers game the other night, so you know.
Wait a minute. Pearly says blonde-haired, blue-eyed pie, right? That's much better than bleach blonde by Butch Body.
I actually watched that. That was a good route.
Yeah, that was good. That was pretty good.
All right.
You can't get around with a fast mode, sister. You can get yourself in problems.
We got a call. Let's get to that call real quick. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty, Pearly, MJ, and everybody else. What's up?
Hey, what's happening, man? What's going on, Mystery?
Everything good. I talked to y'all since y'all made those wrong picks. What's going on with you and Pearly?
What you mean wrong picks? What you talking about?
Picks I made. I said Dallas.
The only pick y'all got right. The only pick y'all got right was Boston.
New York Knicks.
No.
Which pick y'all got right was Boston?
I said for Kyrie, so I don't know which pick you mean.
Now... Let me go on record here, Mystery, right?
I got it right here in front of me, so go on record. Go ahead,
and let me say that when that series started, I said it was going to be an entertaining series.
Mm-hmm.
I said Minnesota, you know, could very well win it, but I have to go on the side of veteran experience and a championship squad, and I had to roll with Denver based on the fact that they're the defending champion.
Yeah, at least you honest with that. Go ahead to the next one.
And then as far as Boston goes, I was like, well, you know Boston could win that one, and they could beat up on Indiana because Indiana could make it through because Knicks, and me and you could have suited up for the Knicks. That's how many injuries they had.
Absolutely. You was right about that.
And now we're on to the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, and I'll say again, the Minnesota Timberwolves could very well win that series. It's going 7 games, and I err on the side of veteran leadership, Kyrie Irving, because if you notice, Kyrie and the Mavs have played the Clippers in round one. They were the lower-rated seed. They beat the Clippers. Second round, they played the higher-rated seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. They beat them.
So you believe whoever come out the West can win the finals?
No, now. I'm saying it depends on which Boston team shows up. If the Western Conference finalists could very well beat Boston, but it depends on which team in Boston shows up. If they show up focused and play ball like they know how they're supposed to play ball and do what they need to do, they're going to win the series. If they don't, then that Western Conference team could very well beat them and embarrass them in the process.
But if they play Minnesota, they can get sweep.
Anyway, I'll let Pearly chime in now. I've given you my 2 cents, sir.
Go ahead, Pearly.
I really believe, I'm not judging the Dallas-Minnesota playoff yet, because even though I'm seeing a fresh and great Kyrie Irving, I still believe Minnesota will win that conference, the Western Conference, and I think it'll be Minnesota against Boston, and they're going to be tough for Boston. Boston's going to sweep Indiana. They're going to sweep Indiana. If Indiana were to get a win, it would be one. It would be one to say face in Indiana. But outside of that, I think they can get sweep. Five the most.
I want to let MJ, you know, our resident Spurs fan, make her commentary as well.
Yeah, no,
go ahead, MJ.
It's probably true with Boston and the Pacers, because I actually think the Pacers can beat Boston, but after the way that game one ended, with all the assists that Boston got from the referees, I think it's pretty clear that the Celtics is the team that the NBA wants to see, or maybe some people want to see end up in the finals. As far as what's going on with Dallas and Minnesota, I think that Dallas wins it all. I do not think that Minnesota is going to be able to overcome just the sheer power of the combo of Luka and Kyrie, because we've seen.
So you
Minnesota
think Dallas?
And,
you think
past,
it can be Dallas and Boston?
They're going to do it again. It's going to be Dallas, and it's going to be Dallas against Boston.
So what assist did the referees give Boston?
You didn't watch the end of the first game at Boston and the Pacers that ended up in overtime because of some assistance from the referees.
What was that assistance, MJ? What was that assistance? They made a bad pass. It was the wrong pass.
Just some
but
of the calls
the last
towards
game?
The end. Just the way that it
you
unfolded.
So?
It had a heavy-handed feel about it. And so I say that it was quite possible for the Pacers to win that game, but I don't think they have any more chances to overcome Boston.
Okay.
It's just
it's
done.
I think Indiana could win two in Indiana.
I said Boston in five. I hold firm to that Boston in five.
I think Indiana is going to win two in Indiana without a doubt. Boston ain't going to win
like
Indiana.
A sweep, but yeah,
I think the series is going to seven.
Anything's possible.
Not even Minnesota. It's going to be tough for Minnesota to come back from that.
Naughty, what do you think about this big deal the NCAA girls got?
Oh, the lawsuit that they won.
$2+ billion payoff.
So they got like $27 billion or something like that over 10 years that they're going to use to pay. And you know what I think?
No, $2.5 billion.
It's only the five big conferences that get to pay. So what happened to the Conference America and all those other small conferences? They don't get a part of this? Only SEC and ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, and somebody else get a part of this.
Yeah, but all the past female players can get payoff too, you know, the ones who are not playing either.
That's only go back to 2016.
Yeah. That's
so
a good deal.
From 2016 to now, that's 8 years, they're going to pay those players who are part of that.
Yeah, ACC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, and SEC all voted to approve the proposed terms.
Yeah, really be interested to see just how much money they're going to get.
But to
see what the differentiation, what football players can get from baseball players, or what lacrosse players can get from basketball players, and what tennis players can get from swimmers. That's what I want to see. How that breakdown.
Yeah, but the
male
fact, no, but the deal is they're going to start getting paid now. They've been selling tickets.
Listen to me, Mystery. I understand they're going to start getting paid. My two concerns are only five conferences are benefiting from it, and I want to know what the disparity of being paid can be for the football players to the lacrosse players or the tennis players to the baseball players. That's what I want to know. I'm tired of getting paid because I think they deserve it, because the university is making billions of dollars off these athletes.
You're
and
right.
I'm fine for them getting, but I just want to know what the payment level is going to be at. That's what I'm interested in.
Yes. Anyway, guys, you all have a good one. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Good stuff, Mesh. Have a good weekend,
pleasure,
man.
Brother. Always a pleasure.
Okay.
Next, real quick, because we got we got to get to the break, and then we got Cowherd taking us home in short order. But before we get there, like I said, though, we got some rumblings from around the league. You got now Bronny is being selected with team workouts.
But I'm hearing, I mean, but them scouts and them praising that do it, but I don't know, boy.
The power of clutch sports.
The power of clutch. That is very discouraging.
What's discouraging?
They're really trying to big up LeBron James and Bronny. They're trying to push him up into the first round, and he's not even a low or a late second round pick quality talent. He really should be G League if he does, but I really think he should go back to college.
Did you hear what the agent for LeBron as well as Bronny said with Paul today? He made a statement that Bronny is not going to sign a dual contract, which means that he is not playing in the G League. He says that he's alerted the teams. They all know that he's not going to the G League. So if a team drafts him, the G League is out of the question. They're not going to sign that contract. So, yeah, I guess he is going to get pushed to the highest level, and it's that or nothing.
Yeah, pushed to Ryan to be the 12th man or the 14th man.
That's very unusual to have a rookie come in and basically have at his level, and have your agent say, well, there's no way y'all could even look to sending him to the G League. That's not going to happen. So,
That's all LeBron. And see, that's why I have a problem with him. He's going to force his son onto people. He's not the talent, and he's going to force somebody who's deserved to make that money and be on a contract because that's my son. And that is not right.
They actually doubled down on that because Rich addressed that. There were a lot of people talking about the level of nepotism that they're viewing with this whole Bronny situation. So what, more or less? He said that the league is filled with nepotism. You look at the owners of some of the teams. He actually pointed out the owners of the Knicks. That's James Dolan, correct, Naughty?
Uh-huh. James Dolan.
He said that James, he didn't build that. He inherited it, more or less. And he could have said Jeannie Buss as well, but he didn't go there. In any event, he's basically saying nepotism is all around, so do not blame Bronny or LeBron, because that's just the American way.
Listen, nepotism is around. Jeannie Buss was the daughter of Dr. Buss.
I'm telling you what he said.
Jeannie, it wasn't like Dr. Buss says, I have five other children out there, or there's 50 other people out there who should be able to get the owner's thing. No, he owned it, and his daughter took it over. I don't have a problem with that. The point is, it ain't like LeBron owned a spot on a team, and he get like, are you going to retire LeBron and let Bronny take your spot?
Well, I mean,
because
I guess
that's the problem, ever, because they are better than Bronny. Bronny couldn't even.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to take some kid's spot who deserves to be in the league and force that kid to go to the G League or something, and that's not right.
I'm telling you, don't expect Team LeBron to feel any kind of weight about it, because they're basically saying LeBron and his team, they have the power to make these moves for Bronny, and they're going to do it with no apologies. That's just the way it is.
That's what I've been saying.
And that's the way it is, and I understand it, but it's going to be a disservice to Bronny, because he's going to go there and fellas can dunk his head off. They can embarrass him in the league, and the coaches are not going to play him.
I agree.
You're not
going to change LeBron's mind.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
Just like in a small Division III school, and the white town folk and everything around there push, because you got to play the fella from that town, or else you have a problem. No, that can't work in this big sports.
I'll put it to you like this. The role of LeVar Ball is now being played by LeBron James.
Yep. With no apology.
I told you that Caitlin Clark fan, that stand for Caitlin Clark, was going to show up, right? Here it is. And see how they did it. I see what they tried to do here today. Man, Naughty, you mad because Bronny is the next goat. Kid goat, like kitty, like that kind of goat, yeah. Like goaty. Not no real goat. How he could be the goat if he pawing the goat? If he pawing the goat, how he could be the goat? Don't hit on him because you don't like King James. You need to worry about getting your Cowboys up. And Pearlie and MJ talking about nepotism. Isn't Angel Reese a product of nepotism? Because she can't play ball at all.
Say that again. Say that one more time.
Angel?
Yeah, and you're talking about nepotism. Isn't Angel Reese a product of nepotism, Pearlie? Because she can't play ball at all.
Wow.
Angel Reese got what Caitlin ain't got, a national title.
Oh, boy. We're going to get a volley going here.
She
was instrumental. And a significant part of making sure that her team get it.
This text here
did everything, and he couldn't win a national title. Go sit down.
This text is a rabid.
And he ain't gonna win a WNBA
Angel Reese
either.
Fan. Rabid Angel Reese fan. Rabid.
I'm willing to say Angel Reese got a chance to get the title quicker than Caitlin Clark.
Ooh, ouch! All right, Pearlie. Let's get to the picks, man. Because we got to get to the picks, get to the break, and then we got the final 10 with Colin Cowherd taking us home. And great topic today. The Boston Celtics have no excuse not to make the NBA Finals.
No, they have none. They have none. Especially if Halliburton, no, they have no excuse.
All right, here we go. Let's check out the games tonight. You got the schedule right in front of you.
In the NBA. We got Dallas at Minnesota tonight. Minnesota is a 5.5-point favorite. I go in Minnesota on the points tonight.
You taking Minnesota and the points tonight?
Yes, I bowl. I biggity tonight.
Well, I'm not so. Hey, that's 6 points. Nice play. You taking Minnesota to win by six?
Yes, win by six.
Give me Dallas plus six, buddy. I just see this line. Give me Dallas plus
six. Exactly. Take Dallas.
Pick up to the islandgame.com and that sports book, man. Nice 6 point. Boy, I like this one here. Dallas, give me Dallas plus six and I win Burley.
Okay.
Celtics minus seven over the Pacers.
Tomorrow night we got Boston. Is it tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Yeah, Boston and Indiana tomorrow night. Boston is a 6.5-point favorite.
I'm going to go with Boston on the money line. I don't like how they do with big leads and big spreads.
Yeah, they're inconsistent. I end up the spread the other night lost. So I'm going to go with the money line tomorrow with Boston.
Indiana Fever tonight, 1.5-point favorites over the LA Sparks in the WNBA.
Cameron Brink's going to saw off somebody here. I'm going with the Sparks tonight. I was actually a Sparks fan from Lisa Leslie Diamond.
Yeah, I used to pull for them because of the affiliation with the Lakers and Lisa Leslie. And then Candace Parker came there, and it was solid. They had some good players on that team over the years, too, in L.A.
Yeah.
But, nowadays, no bueno. For the last couple of years, no bueno.
And then tomorrow, they got a full segment of games tomorrow. They get the Liberty and the Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah, big games tomorrow.
And they got my girl playing the Connecticut Sun, which is going to be a good test for them in Chicago tomorrow night. Then you get the Washington Mystics and the Seattle Storm.
That'll be a good game.
And the Aces can kill the Fever.
And the Wings and the Mercury. Two lousy teams that play hard. It's competitive.
The Aces are the defending champ, so...
But they play in the Fever. Are we talking about the Mercury taking on the Wings, the Dallas Wings and the Phoenix Mercury?
Oh, yeah, two lowly teams.
Yeah, but they play hard.
They do play hard. Hold on.
Pretty. We have MJ's picks, though.
Oh, what are you saying, MJ? I do apologize.
Well, no, that's fine.
And forgive us, MJ. Forgive us, MJ. You know, you're back into the program now and all. Me and Purdy used to just going back and forth with these picks, so I apologize. My apologies.
Yeah, no, just for the NBA, I'm going with Boston, I think, because, like I said, they got a little bit of help from the refs. I don't think that's going to end. That controversial, I agree with Purdy that it was a turnover, but don't forget that. You know, many people believe that there was a foul on Pascal Siakam at the same time that should have been called. That was correct. And so I feel like the refs are a bit heavy-handed on that one. Boston is going to win that series. As for what's happening with Dallas, I would go with Dallas with the points.
Plus six,
Minnesota's probably going to win this game tonight, but I think it'll be closer than the 5 points you have to cover. So, yeah, or the 6 points you have to cover. So, yeah, I would run with Dallas.
I like Dallas tonight and that, man. That's a good one, man. That plus six is really nice. And you better get it now because that line may drop before the game.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. That's true.
I don't see it going up anymore. So if you can get it at 6 or 5.5, grab it. You guys, great stuff all week. And MJ, great to have you back. Purdy, great stuff. I know you were very busy this week, but it looked like your efforts paid off yesterday. Had a great turnout.
Yep, thank God for life.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Flip side of the break, Colin Cowherd taking us home. Madam Producer, thank you very much, man. It's been our pleasure. You see how the Millennium Falcon flew so smooth today? Boy, I tell you.
I like it.
Have a great weekend, Bombers. Be good, and if you can't be good, be good at it. And we'll see you Monday right here on Talking Heads.
Yeah. Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Play with Island Games. We making dreams come true. Play with Island Games. We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket. Cause Island Games is spicy. And spicy is tradition. So when you play Island Games, we putting Bahamian spice. Guaranteed to pay Island Games. We like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start. From the bike to computer. Island Games. We gonna make your dreams come true.
Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Boston Celtics easily dispatched the Indiana Pacers. Kind of a snoozer. My men's league game was way more heated. It went overtime. Celtics win easily. And, you know, Jaylen Brown had 40, but the biggest storyline kind of was the Tyrese Halliburton hamstring injury. It looks to be able to go in game three. And we know if you go down 0-3 in the NBA playoffs, it's a death sentence. Teams that fall behind 0-3, I think, are 0-153 in the playoffs. So not good for the Pacers. But there's an interesting storyline regarding Jaylen Brown, the Boston star who scored 40 last night. And I say star because he was All-NBA last season. Now, earlier this week, the NBA announced the All-NBA teams. And Jaylen Brown was snubbed. And it was kind of weird because Boston had the best record in the league. The Celtics won NBA point differential by an astronomical margin. They had the most 20-point wins in the NBA. They eviscerated the league, totally dominated. Yet only one player, Jason Tatum, was all NBA. How does that kind of thing happen? And you wonder, would Jaylen Brown take that personally? Oh, you got to love that. Jaylen Brown, a quiet anger. They're seething. And you know who it's a shot at. Let's be real. People who follow the NBA. It's kind of a jab at Halliburton, who was injured, missed some games, doesn't play defense like Jaylen Brown. And Halliburton was on the other side of the court last night. Jaylen Brown went off and let the people know. And I got to be honest, Jaylen Brown's got some beef. Okay, well, I'm not going to sit here and argue all NBA, but the Lakers, who were a play-in team, had two guys that were all NBA, LeBron and AD, and I'm not saying they didn't deserve it. They were a play-in team, okay? The Phoenix Suns, sixth seed, dusted. I'm talking swept in the first round by the Timberwolves. They had two all NBA players. Boston, top team in the league, only going to get one? It felt a little strange. Now, I should point out, everything is lining up for Boston, right? They're now 10-2 in the playoffs. In the opening round, Jimmy Butler did not play due to an injury. Second round, Donovan Mitchell misses a couple games due to injury. And now we've got the Halliburton injury. Things are lining up for, you know, I talked yesterday about the Mavericks. It's looking to me like a Celtics-Mavericks collision course in the finals. And if Boston ends up sweeping Indy, which is certainly in play if Halliburton doesn't go in game three, we're looking at Boston having 8 to 10 days off before the NBA Finals. 8 to 10. That's great news for Porzingis. They had a big guy, Cornette, I think, got dinged up last night. He's not a factor, but again, they need 10 minutes out of him in the playoffs, 10 minutes a game. Everything lines up for Boston. There are no excuses. I know Colin is off Boston being a potential dynasty. They're also in line to go back to the finals for the second time in 3 years. And I'm not the biggest Jaylen Brown fan in the world. I like his game. I think his handle's still in question. He did, side note, leading up to the NBA draft, he was working out at my gym. And I got a peek in the window at him, and I was like, oh, this guy's pretty nice. I didn't think he was a top five pick. He has emerged as a top 15 player in the NBA. That's undeniable. And you guys, I'm sure, have seen the movie Gladiator. I don't know what it is with me referencing these like old school war movies. Yesterday, Troy. Today, Gladiator. But Jaylen Brown's quotes last night where he was so, you know, seething with anger, it reminds me of Gladiator where Russell Crowe said, I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. I'm sure you remember that. Classic line. Listen, Jaylen Brown is getting his vengeance. And he kind of had a good finals a couple years ago against the Warriors. Then petered out in the last few games. And again, you know, the offensive skill set, not totally there. He dropped 40 last night, though. Jaylen Brown getting his revenge for the All-NBA snub. And the Celtics look like they're hurtling toward another trip to the NBA Finals. All right, I want to quickly pivot to the NFL and Jordan Love. Colin Cowherd's favorite quarterback. I don't know, it's a battle between him and Jared Goff. This is a situation now in Green Bay. We're not at DEFCON 1, probably at DEFCON 3. So Jordan Love famously drafted in the first round. They traded up. He was so ticked off. He used that as vengeance and went and got two MVP awards in a row. The Packers were at the top of the NFC, just couldn't break through. So Love sits for 2 years, then sits for a third, started just one game in his first 3 years. And then they have the beef with Rodgers, and he moves on, and Rodgers is angry and pouting, whatever. Jordan Love starts last year kind of okay. He was meh, nothing special. Mid, as the kids like to say. And then what happened in the second half of the season? Final eight games, Jordan Love was dominant. 18 touchdowns, one interception. You toss in the play-in games and look at how Jordan Love ended the season. Spectacular fashion, no doubt. Emerging as maybe a top 10 quarterback in the league. I think it's in play. I don't know that he's there yet. But it's only half a season and a couple playoff games to build on. He did look good against Dallas and Dak on the road and then nearly went to San Fran and pulled off the win. That was a great game. But all arrows are pointing up in Green Bay. You know, Jordan Love basically has the vibes through the roof in Green Bay. However, there's always a however, his contract situation is a little tricky. So they decided we're going to renegotiate you last year, and Jordan Love only basically had a one-year guarantee. So now he blows up last season, and he's essentially saying, show me the money. The media asked Jordan Love, what does the future hold? So if you don't get a deal, are you going to not show up for training camp? Gosh, you love a good quarterback controversy. Now, listen, this may be a non-controversy. This may be done in a couple weeks. But I've talked about compound interest before on this show. People love when I get all financial. The best things in life come from compound interest. Learning, finances, obviously, relationships, trust. Nobody knows this better than the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. Brett Favre for 15 years at your starting. Then you transition to Aaron Rodgers, who gave you 14 years. Folks, that's almost three decades with only two quarterbacks. Do you know, and I referenced the Jets or my team earlier, you know the Jets would just kill for one guy to last 15 years? That's it. Give me one quarterback that I can invest in and build that compound interest so I'm not shuttling around looking for a quarterback every few years. Because it ain't fun. It's not. I remember a guy the Jets had in the 80s, Ken O'Brien. I was like, oh, he's the guy. He's the man. Like, okay, he had a ceiling. Didn't last 10 years with the Jets. Wasn't a starter for 15. Didn't bring us to a Super Bowl. Yeah, I can say us. But you look at the Miami Dolphins. They're the quintessential example. Dan Marino, superstar, goes to the Super Bowl in year two. You think you got him. He sticks around forever. You don't get back. Have you seen the carousel of quarterbacks in Miami since Dan Marino retired? They're still searching. They don't even know if Tua's the guy. Once you find the one, you lock that in. Whether it's relationships, I said learning, investing, compound interest wins. And the Green Bay Packers can make this very easy. They can look at Jordan Love and say, you're our next guy for 15 years. We believe in you. That second half of the season, we love it. There's a reason we traded up to grab you, Jordan, because you're our guy. Now, you're not going to get $55 million a year. Sorry, you're not Burrow. At this stage, we haven't seen it. And he says, well, Jared Goff got $53 million. I know he's got a better body of work than me, but I don't know. I was okay against him head-to-head, and I don't think they're much better than us. You look at our team, we got young head coach.